That was Moi, a tune I call Breaking and Entering. It sounds like that the final reverb hit on that last snare gets cut off, so I think I'm going to have to remix that. But that was my first project with the new Logic Studio. I'd actually recorded most of it in Logic Pro 7 way back, but I mixed it down and finalized it in the new Logic Studio. Came out on Wednesday, had it in my hands that afternoon. And unfortunately, I couldn't install it because I have an academic version of Logic Pro 7. So there is apparently no upgrade for academic versions, which I said virgins, which I find ridiculous simply because, I mean, if I got an academic discount, well, you get the same thing on computers, you know? I mean, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but that's the way they run it, and that was probably the first time I'd ever been mad at Apple. But there's always a solution to these things, so I didn't fret long. On Friday, I had a dongle, which you no longer need for Logic Pro, so I'm pretty psyched about that. No more dongle. Dongleless. I borrowed a pro dongle, or a retail dongle, and I was able to install it, no problem. Did a bunch of testing to see if I'd never ever need the dongle again, and I won't, so I can send it back to my friend, who will remain nameless so he doesn't get, you know, in trouble. Because, you know, a lot of Apple people are listening to this podcast. And I could play with it all day Friday, played with it over the weekend. It's amazing. The new interface is gorgeous. It's truly a Mac app. It wasn't before. It was an eMagic app that Apple took over, and it just didn't have the same Apple's interface sexiness. The conventions weren't there. The look and feel just, yeah, I hated it. That's why I do a whole lot of stuff in GarageBand. I'm recording this in GarageBand right now. It's just so easy and so beautiful and so fun to look at and play with. That's why I love it. Now, you know, I'm definitely going to have to spend a lot more time in Logic, so I'm excited about that because it'll motivate me to spend more time in there. And that was, you know, it was one of those things. If your software doesn't inspire you, you're not going to use it. And Logic is now one of those things, and Numbers is one of those things. I'll talk about spreadsheets later, but Logic is one of those things now that I'm inspired to open and explore and create in. And I have a bunch of projects too to work on, so we're good to go. It also comes with MainStage. Now, I have not even launched MainStage yet. It's been exactly a week since I bought the program, and I haven't even launched it. I'll have to do that today, but it's a live performance app that you can take out on the road, and I imagine it's got better stability, so less features. It's got all your instruments in there, so you can, you know. Someone's IMing me. Sorry, lost my focus. You can play live with all their studio instruments. Even if you're a guitar player, you can use, I'm sure, some sort of pedal thing and do, you know, wah-wahs and amps and effects switching and all kinds of stuff. I'm excited about that. I have taken stuff on the road and what did I use? East West, some stuff. I think Colossus I used live. And man, it worked great. I mean, those guitar sounds were really awesome, and that's what I was doing, was adding some guitar sounds to Stuart Davis's show, and it was great. It worked great, and that was on my G4. But this is, you know, Apple, so I'm excited about it. Going to try it out. And you know, their sounds are awesome. Their organ emulators are great. I mean, so I could really potentially find a nice keyboard, a controller, and just take that and the Mac out and have a great show. So I'm pumped about that. It comes with a couple other pieces, Soundtrack Pro 2. You know, I don't know much about that. Waveburner, don't know much about that. But I know Soundtrack Pro is for putting kind of mastering, things like that. And Waveburner is to get your stuff onto CD. So, it's cool stuff. I'm so excited that I got it and was one of the first. And I've already started a Logic Studio training site. I put my first video up on this blog, actually, so you can see it under the videos section, and I'll put a link to it. But Rob and I, a partner of mine, Rob Fulton, we are going to be starting some Logic training. Hopefully we'll be doing some joint ventures with some of the other fantastic Logic trainers out there that are already on the ball. Logic, Martin Sitter, he's already got Logic Pro 8 tutorials, I believe, and love to connect with all these people and get in on that. So that's, I'm super excited about that. In fact, that's what I spent most of my week and weekend on, was Logic, making music. What else am I excited about? The 300 workout. I'm getting in kick-ass shape. Today, weighed in, I think, at 180.4, or was it at 180.6? I'm not exactly sure at the moment, but either way, I'm starting to settle down around 180 as my baseline. I imagine by Saturday I will be below 180, which is kick-ass. Lost half an inch on the waist, so measurements are going well, weight's going well. That's one of the problems with using weight as a measurement of progress, because it could potentially be pointing to muscle loss. But the way I look at it, my strength is going up. My chest actually went up a half inch. My arms, everything else is pretty much staying the same. It's just those middle fat areas, the ass and the abs, that I'm trying to lose inches on. And since I lost a half inch in 1 week on the abs, not bad. And since lost weight but didn't lose strength or inches anywhere else, I'm assuming that what I'm losing is fat, all because of this 300 workout on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, if I can. And I think I might have even skipped it Friday, just did it twice last week. But and Monday I could only do just over half of it because I had a calorie deficit or something. I was about to pass out. Today was a banner day, though. Let me do a little addition. So I hit 25 pull-ups plus all 50 of my deadlifts plus all 50 of my push-ups. And push-ups, it only took me 2 sets to complete. Now, I'm doing a lot of rest on this. Like, if you were to do it the way they say to do it, there'd be zero rest. But I mean, I just don't see how it can be done, at least not for me right now. And I'm in pretty good shape. So like I said before, this is an event. But I got all my 50 push-ups done in 2 sets, so I can see that going down to 1 set pretty soon. I did 40 push-ups, then 10. Maybe within the next week or two, I'll be doing 50, no problem. So there's hope for the other exercises. And then box jumps, I actually did 50 of those, so that's good news. Again, took 3 sets. Floor wipers. Now, this is the first time I did it holding a bar with actual weight on it. Before, I've just been practicing it, trying it out without weight, because that one took a while to get used to. It's a different exercise. You're lying down on your back. You're holding a bar with 45-pound plates on each side, so you're holding 135 pounds, and you're lifting your legs to touch each plate. And so it's a twist. It's an ab workout with a twist to it. And you have touching each plate on both sides. That's a single rep. So, you know, you're basically doing 100 movements, 50 each side. And at least that's the way I gathered it. So for floor wipers, I did 18, 24 of those. So not quite halfway there, because you're supposed to do 50. And then plus my clean and press with the kettlebell. I love that exercise. Got my full 50 there. And then the final one is pull-ups. Again, you're supposed to do 25, and I got to, let's see, 18. By then, you know, you're tired. I'm tired. And so let's see, the total there is 267. How about that? If I divide it by 300, I'm 89% there. So I'm completing 89% of the 300 workout, and totally psyched about that. That's, I mean, the first time I did it, I don't know if I hit 150. So did I say I was going to improve? I did, and am I? You better friggin' believe I am. So that's going well. And I mentioned numbers. I love numbers. I've been trying to use it for everything, and I'm not a spreadsheet guy. I don't understand spreadsheets well just because I haven't used them much. I mean, I get the overall gist, but you can sum and total things. But I mean, how can you, do more complex stuff? I'd love to learn how to do that. But I have tried a few things, and with my coaching programs, I've got about 9 or 10 little things I'm going through. And every 2 weeks, I go through the list of to see where I'm at, and I grade myself. So I've got this nice little grading spreadsheet that at a glance I can tell how I'm doing in each coaching program, and which ones I need to kick it up a bit, and just an overall coaching health level. And then I'm using getting things done, my text mate getting things done method for creating projects within each of the categories of each of these coaching programs. And it's coming along great. I'm getting a lot of stuff done and feeling pretty good about it. Let's see. So last week, if I just look at my GTD log, filing papers, reviewing the programs, keeping to my diet. Let's see. Oh, one of the things I did, which I really liked, is I set up a backup system. That was one of the things that it asked you to do. I believe part of the clean sweep. Maybe it was something else. But basically, have a weekly backup system for your files. So, you don't have, there's no stress if you were to lose anything. You'd only be a week behind, which is always, that's doable. And I just used Max Backup. And I backed up my entire home drive to DVD, and once a month that'll happen. And the folders that I tend to work in a lot, once a week they get backed up, and my music projects get backed up once a week. Some basic settings get backed up once a day, and it's all automatic. I don't even have to think about it. So I love backup. I'm excited about my little backup program, and this is all of the result of one of these coaching programs. So it's a pretty slick little system I've got here, and I'm looking forward to, now that I've gone through it myself, to perhaps taking on some coaching clients and working with them through some of these. So that's a project I'm looking at down the road. Right now I've got a couple other business projects that are taking my time, not too much time, because that's the plan. Ideally the plan is to allow me to create music and do some of the other things that bring me pleasure, such as podcasts like this, blog over, like I did a nice little blog post that was inspired by the coaching program or the Coach Phil information. And it is called The Zen of Attraction. So I'll talk about The Zen of Attraction for a second. If less is more, then nothing is everything. So I really like that sentence, if less is more, then nothing is everything. So 10 principles to the Zen of Attraction. Number one is promise nothing. Just do what you most enjoy doing. And the hidden benefit of that is you will always over-deliver. How about that? Number two, offer nothing. Just share what you have with those who express an interest in it. The hidden benefit is takes the pressure off wanting other people to see you as valuable or important. Number three, expect nothing. Just enjoy what you already have. It's plenty. Hidden benefit there, you will realize how complete your life is already, which is one of my affirmations that I've got on my desktop right now. As part of this coaching program, I'm using the Unix Remind system to throw some affirmations up there for the next, I believe, 365 days, or maybe I just chose 90, because I figure after 90 days of constantly putting that through your head, it's time to move on, and it will become a habit. So one of them is, I enjoy being a work in progress, yet I am complete as well, which works together with need nothing. So expect nothing. Number four is need nothing. Just build up your reserves and your needs will disappear. A hidden benefit is your boundaries will be extended and filled with space. So there's a whole coaching program on called the Super Reserve Program, which is all about building reserves in everything, in energy, in toilet paper, you know, in things, in energy, in ideas, in space, in relationships. That way you have tons of space to operate. Extending your boundaries is a good thing, not to the point, obviously, where they're rigid, but you can work with boundaries are fluid and flexible, and if you don't have any concept of boundaries, well, therein lies a ton of problems. So number five, create nothing, which was kind of a counterintuitive for me, being a creative person and identifying as a creative person, but it's just a little bit of a twist. So just respond well to what comes to you. The hidden benefit there is openness, and that makes total sense when you think about creativity. It's not something that you have to force. Sometimes you do if it's your job and you want to make it your job. You just have to actually sit down, and if nothing's coming, which is rarely the case, then you have to find some sort of strategy to make it work. And you know, even in learning principles or learning fundamentals, you have to practice them. And that's not so much creativity as practice, but the whole idea of just responding to what comes to you, well, that's part of creativity, is just opening up and listening. So I really like that one. Number six, hype nothing. Just let quality sell by itself. Your hidden benefit, trustability. Now, this one's going to be tough because I've been a copywriter for a long time, and I like to use big language to describe things. And that doesn't mean that I don't have to, or it's probably going to be a subtle shift in my writing, because you still are creating states in people. Nothing wrong with that. But you're not hyping. You're letting the quality sell by itself. So obviously, you want to write, or you want to get people to feel good about your purple cow, that Seth Godin calls it, your amazing creation, your amazing product or service, and not try and put lipstick on the pig or polish the turd. So number seven, plan nothing. Just take the path of least resistance. Your hidden benefit, achievement will become effortless. So effortless achievement is a goal, and obviously plan nothing can be taken in a couple ways. It doesn't mean do not plan. It means plan nothing. So if your planning comes from a place of needing nothing, expecting nothing, and promising nothing, then the plan itself will be a plan of least resistance, and it'll be an effortless plan. There you go. I like the spin on that. Eight, learn nothing. Just let your body absorb it all. Just let your body absorb it all on your behalf. The hidden benefit, you will become more receptive to what you need to know in the moment. And one of my big challenges is constantly reading, learning, trying to get information into my head that, and then feeling overwhelmed, maybe not overwhelmed sometimes, but another part of it is inadequate, because everything I try to learn, it doesn't then become doesn't become embodied or part of me. So this idea of learning nothing, again, doesn't mean do not learn, but learn nothing. Instead of learning something, learn nothing. And as we say, nothing is everything. So learn everything, but in the way you do it, you just learn, let your body absorb it, let your mind absorb it. And I like the idea of letting your body absorb it, because making learning an embodied experience rather than just this mental experience. So it uses more of you. Number nine, become no one. Just be more of yourself. I love that. Hidden benefit, authenticity. Number 10, change nothing. Just tell the truth and things will change by themselves. The hidden benefit, acceptance. Also perhaps equanimity. So that's the Zen of Attraction. Put that on my integral blog today, and I'll send a link to it. And yeah, what else am I doing? coaching, working with my partners on some business, making music with Logic Studio. It's feeling good. I've got a lot of space right now. And a little bit about that first track I sent to you was played for you. That first track was designed with a couple things in mind. One, a heist. Specifically, I think of the Italian Job. The Italian Job was one of those awesome ones, and I kind of have images of that in my mind, even though theirs was more playful. Their music, their soundtrack was more playful. This one's a bit more intense, as if, you know, it's a bit more of a close call. In fact, all of their jobs, they got away pretty easy. And I like the one I wrote because it's a bit of a close call with a little bit of a, you feel like we've made it. We're home free, and then finally another mad dash to become totally free, and then bang, you're done. The other reason I wrote that song was to pump me up for working out, because obviously it's one of those nice, intense, motivating, gets your blood pumping 120 beats per minute, so it gets your heart rate going nicely, and it's a little over 5 minutes long. I can put that in either right after I drop Katie off from school, depending on traffic, and it'll take me all the way to the gym. So as soon as I get out of the car, I'm raring to go. Love that. So I'm done. I am going to put this online, and I'm going to relax a little bit. Maybe dick around, put on a little. This is the cool thing about a 17-inch computer. I can watch some videos, TV shows in the background on one part of the screen while I work on another. Try and do that on a 14.5 or 15-inch. Even 17-inch only seems like, you know, the numbers are only 2 inches bigger, but this has higher resolution. It's HD. So actually, it's a lot more space there to work with. So I can entertain myself as I do work, or explore, or whatever. It's a fun little system I've got. And so I downloaded a little bit of LA Ink. It's a cool little show that I don't have to actually watch, but I love tattoos, so once in a while I like to check out the art they're doing. And I might even throw a little West Wing on there. I'm on the last disc of Season 7, which is the final disc of the entire series. And then I'll have completed an entire, the entire West Wing show. Probably for the third time as a total show. I've watched the first 3 seasons dozens of times, I guess, because they're so good. And it started to lose me season 5, 6, and 7 as they lost Sam Seaborn, whatever his name is. And, they got me back at season 7 because that's when John Spencer actually died. I mean, and I watched it the whole way, and I enjoyed myself, even though I was like, wasn't as passionate about it. I still had those first few seasons to watch all the time. But when John Spencer died in the 7th season, I cried, actually, because he had been such almost like a father figure to me on the show, that I wished he had been my chief of staff, or, you know, kind of like to Josh. He was a surrogate father to Josh. He was a surrogate father to me. He just had that, you know, maybe it was even more avuncular than fatherly, but he was someone that embodied a whole bunch of ideals that I want to emulate and live up to. A whole set of standards that this guy operates on, of course, as an actor, and, you know, a dramatization, but nonetheless, it's inspiring, and that's the reason I love that show. People working at such a high level. And, you know, from a just level, from a righteous level, it was just a beautiful show. And so when he died, I cried. And, you know, he actually died on the show recently, and you just get this, it's kind of eerie, you know, how it happened on the show as well as in real life. They had to kill him on the show but he had to die on the show because he died in real life. But how they weaved it in, it was really touching and really well done. You know, it wasn't a gimmick. It was respectful. And the saddest part, though, is in season, I believe, 5, maybe it was 6, where he has a heart attack on the show. That's the one where it's like, oh, man, you see him playing. And, you know, this is after the fact, but you see him playing a heart attack, you know, acting a heart attack. And then knowing that that's how he really died, like, a year later. That's kind of tough to watch. That's really sad, because even though he's acting, you kind of get this eerie sense, this ominous sense of what's to come. And so it's sad, but I'll have finished that, and I'll be able to put West Wing to bed for a while, and you know, finish my marathon through the X-Files, which I'm on season 7. They've went to season 9. And apparently there's going to be another X-Files movie coming out, which I think would be awesome, because I'm really into David Duchovny right now, this Californication show. Fantastic writing, and he is an author, a writer, so his wit is, it's fantastic. His wit just keeps me, I love it, you know, and plus he gets tons of girls, so there's lots of TNA on this show, which is fine. And, but the characters, the relationships, it's really, I think, a well-done show. It's a Showtime show on the Showtime network, but I download it. isohunt.com, get yourself a BitTorrent client. Oh, tvrss.net, that's where I go. Get all your shows right there. So Californication's a great show. The writing's awesome. Oh, and he's an author, but he hasn't written anything, so he's having a bit of a creative struggle, which I can relate to as an artist myself. And he becomes a blogger to pay the bills. So it's pretty cool, relevant. I'm gonna leave it with that. I'm gonna play the Brian Setzer Orchestra, a tune called One More Night With You. And this is swinging, you'll dig it. And next time I come out with you, I got some awesome jazz from Terrence Blanchard, and maybe more of myself. So see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Foreign car, movie star, new guitar, a jukebox in a funky bar, and one more night with you. I don't need no voodoo charm, daddy's farm, false alarm, ain't no thing can do me harm, as long as you are true.
I don't need no mojo hex, bouncing checks, another ex, shuffle up them poker decks, I'm calling you.
I don't need no pinky ring, bottom bing, one more thing. Love the band that loves to swing
and press it all night through.
Let's go get us out of town, double down, lay around. All I need's a rockin' sound and one more night with you.
Track.